you know, three of the best four teams in the nation. Well, I guess right now they are. But, you know, I'm a little bit – I'm not entirely comfortable with having those three teams where they are because, first of all
– Me neither.
None of them have played each other yet, John. I mean, the schedule has worked out a little bit quirkily, if that's a word.
It is for the podcast.
You know, these teams have – I think their ACC schedule are all a little bit backloaded, first of all. And their non-conference schedules haven't been great. I think Florida State's actually played a pretty solid non-conference schedule. They did sweep – an Auburn team that's starting to get hot,
right?
In a four-game series, but you know, I mean, I want to see what happens once these teams actually start playing each other. They haven't played the stoutest schedules, and Miami still has yet to play a top 25 team. North Carolina has yet to play a single top 25 team.
Which is unbelievable.
Florida State just played its first four games against the top 25 teams this week and won all four of them. So,
right.
Florida State, I had questions, John, and I've been saying this all year about their pitching and a little bit about their defense as well, but especially about their pitching. And this weekend, you know, first they get a great outing from Matt Farrell on Friday, who's been very solid for them all
yep.
year. And then they win a pair of 3-2 games against a pitching and defense outfit in Virginia. You know, that shows me a little something. They're not just going to win slugfests.
Agree.
They can win different kinds of games. So we jumped them a spot over North Carolina, which can't sweep teams for some reason. They're
very strange.
They can't finish anybody off. So North Carolina wins 2 out of 3 against Georgia Tech and remains at number 4.
Yeah, Florida State. It's unusual. Their like you said, their league schedule has been Georgia Tech, which is a good team, but not a top 25 team all year for us. Maryland, Virginia now, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest. I dare say Wake Forest might be the worst team in the ACC this year.
It's
an ERA that's north of 8. Yeah. Might be coming close to 9.
They're supposed to have these big bats, John, and you look at their numbers in conference, and it's really, really unimpressive.
Well, nobody pitches everyone tries to say Allen Dykstra beat us and makes the rest of the team. I mean, he's not going to beat us, make right. the rest of the team beat him. And Ogletree and Willie Fox and these guys just aren't doing it.
That's
They're just
it.
Not doing it.
That's it, exactly. And you're right, because nobody's pitching to Dykstra.
Nobody's pitching to him.
And everyone kind of figured, well, if Dykstra gets all these walks, you know, Wake Forest is going to be just fine because they've got these other bats, but like you said, they just haven't done it. Wake Forest certainly is the biggest disappointment in the ACC, and might be one of the biggest disappointments in the year. I thought they were a regional team coming into the year.
They're not even not a regional team. They're just horrible to watch. I mean, they're unwatchable because, and I'm not even saying that. I'm not even saying this having watched more than an inning or two of them playing. It's the scouts and the coaches I've talked to. I'd say they're unwatchable. And this is a team that went to Pepperdine and was very competitive first weekend of the year.
Yeah.
But they've gotten into ACC play, and they can't stop anyone from scoring. They've given up 18, 14, 21, 12 in conference. They gave up 22 runs to Appalachian State. They wouldn't give up 22 points in football to Appalachian State. And Appalachian State football is good. I'd love to see Wake and App in football these
sure.
days. They won't play each other anymore. That's a great rivalry, but I digress. It's a Baseball America podcast. He's Aaron. I'm John. Cal number 5, Aaron.
You just keep doing it.
I'll take would never have guessed for 100, please, Alex. This is definitely a great year for Cal baseball. I think we knew how good the Pac-10 would be, and we had them 5 in the preseason. You know, there have been a couple teams ahead of them that have stumbled. Preseasons 1 and 2, UCLA and Arizona, both out of the rankings this week for the first time. Neither one of them got swept, but both lost series again. They're both barely above 500. Cal and Stanford at 10 are the Mike Montgomery Invitational here, are the two teams that have really staked their claim to those rankings, and I mean to those spots. And to be honest with you, Aaron, Arizona and UCLA, they're not only not in the top 25, they're both in danger of not making regionals right now because they're not going to get 6 or 7 teams. The Pac-10 is just not going to happen. And to get 5, Arizona State is clearly going to be a regional team. And right now, Cal would have to lose out, basically, to not be in regionals. And Stanford, although they're only 15-9, you point out in the top 25 tracker, Stanford's just – their series wins are so impressive. Nebraska, Fullerton, Texas, Arizona State. No one else in the country has 4 weekend series wins like Stanford has.
That's it, exactly. And I think it's actually kind of a smart, I don't know if I'm going to call it a strategy, because obviously your strategy is not to lose midweek games. You want to win every game, I suppose. But I think it's kind of smart, John, to focus on winning those weekend series with a compacted schedule. You know, you've got to if you're going to put a lot of effort into winning in the midweek, chances are that's going to make you less competitive on the weekends.
I would agree.
And so, I mean, I haven't, you know, I'm not sure if Stanford is I'm not going to say that they're punting the midweek games, right. But you know,
they're not going to sell out to win them either,
right? And to me, I'd like to see a little bit better record on the midweek games from them, but that's why they're ranked number 10 and not number 1 with all those series wins.
Correct. Great point.
You know, but I think it's pretty darn smart to make sure that you're strong for the weekends. And to me, again, I know you got to win the midweek games, but winning the weekends is the most important, and especially now with a compacted schedule.
Yeah, I mean,
because everybody's going to struggle midweek.
Yeah, absolutely. In midweek, they did beat Long Beach State, although everyone's beating Long Beach State these days. And here this midweek, they got Cal. You know, they got Cal today. Bay midweek series they're doing, which I think is kind of smart to play these non-conference games with each other.
I think Cal won the last meeting, if I recall.
But now we'll really see. Stanford goes on the road. They have been at home their last two series in conference, Washington State and Arizona State, since their exams.
And now they go. Fortunately, this is a team that they've won several of their big series at home. Also, they beat Fullerton at home in Nebraska, but they did go to Texas in that series, which to me is just speaks so loud.
Absolutely. Now they're going. That's why they're ahead of Texas. Texas at 12. Yep. Stanford's at 10. I just think the Pac-10, we've been talking about all year, best conference in the country. It's not even close, in my opinion. They're so much better.
I do think they'll get six teams.
That would be tremendous if they did.
They certainly deserve it. And you know, and here's the other thing is UCLA and Oregon State are the two teams that we had. I think also Oregon State is the other team we had in the top three in the preseason in that league.
Yep.
Both of those teams are just 3-3 in the league. So
how about Washington?
Not far removed. And Washington.
How about the Huskies at 20-9 overall, which is shocking. They win the series against Arizona this weekend. They started off losing a series at Riverside, which is not a very good team this year.
Lost to Poly
at home. And there's some unimpressive games in there. You know, they beat Bill Simmons, Holy Cross. They beat Utah Valley State and Hilo. But beating Arizona this weekend is going to look good on their resume. Their non-conference schedule is pretty weak.
It's pretty soft. And you know what? And they lost last weekend at Oregon State as well. Really, this is the first quality wins that they've had. And it's against an Arizona State team that's, for whatever reason, a shell of what it should be.
It's really odd. But they do, to their advantage, they have to go to Cal. But then there are other road series, and then they have to go to Arizona State. But they have to go to Southern California. That's winnable. Like it or not, that's winnable. Southern California is a very unpredictable team. But they're home to Washington State, Stanford, UCLA the rest of the way. This could be a regional contending team. It's going to be very difficult, in my mind, to look at the Pac-10 and to take UCLA and Arizona when their overall record, one loss, is going to be pretty iffy. And the rest of the league,
those teams just have to get caught.
They better get hot.
And I still think they're absolutely talented enough to get hot.
Absolutely. But they better get hot.
They better get hot.
They're not going to get in on the preseason rankings or talent.
That's for sure.
And those two teams are in trouble. Let's just put it that way. Those two teams are in significant trouble and has much more to do.
And Arizona State at 3-6 in the league in considerably more trouble, I think, than UCLA at 3-3.
Agree completely. And it's just that just completely boggles my mind because Arizona has too much pitching for this to be happening.
And that's the thing.
And they also have a coach who's been to Omaha three times. You want to bang on UCLA for John Savage? You know what? You could do it. John Savage hasn't taken a team to Omaha. John Savage hasn't taken a team to win a Super Regional yet. You know, it's the same thing. So his resume, if you want to bang on it, you know what? You can be critical of it. I'm not, but you can be critical of it if you want to. But you can be critical of Andy Lopez's resume. It's just stunning to me that Arizona's doing this with Andy Lopez at the helm. I just can't believe they're this bad.
Especially where they're still getting pretty good pitching, and which is the strength of their team. I mean, Preston Gilmette has still been good. Their guys in the bullpen, Stoffel and Schlereth, have still been good. Coulon pitched very well on Saturday. They're just not hitting.
They're not hitting.
You know, that wasn't really supposed to be a problem for them. People liked their offense as well, and early in the year they were scoring a lot of runs too, but they've just gotten cold, and there's really no good explanation for it.
I blame their bad karma on their nearly unusable website. It's a terrible website. Stats as PDFs, awful idea. I blame
the
bad karma.
If any SIDs are listening right now, get rid of the PDFs on the box scores and the stats. It's just
brutal
to deal with.
You can have them, but have them both ways.
Yeah.
PDFs, we're not down with the PDFs. It's an interesting week also, Aaron, when we jump a team from not ranked to 14. But Georgia is not your average team.
No.
Georgia Bulldogs sweep South Carolina this weekend. They go. They've continued to play. They've played the toughest schedule of any team in the Southeastern Conference, and they finally have a signature weekend to hang it on where they can get into the rankings. They just haven't had that 2-1 weekend against a really, really good team or ranked team. They've played a lot of ranked teams and lost 2 out of 3 to them, or played good teams and lost 2 out of 3 to them, or lost a midweek, or beaten a good team in midweek but not come through big time on a weekend. They finally do this weekend against South Carolina.
Yeah, and you know, for them, I think it was also a matter of just getting that overall record back up to a respectable place. I mean, they were 15-10 last week. They had been getting hot, though. We could kind of see this coming. But after they, you know, early in the year, they lost series to Arizona and Oregon State.
Like, and they're 15-10. Like, Stanford's 15-9 right now. But Stanford's 15-9 is based on those four huge weekend series wins.
Right.
And Georgia had lost at home to Arizona. They lost at Oregon State in those series.
Right.
And hadn't even swept, you know, Memphis. They'd split with Florida State. It was not,
that was
just
kind
not
of, that
quite
was kind
as impressive.
Of what started it for them is that
right.
Florida State, they split. Then they go on the road. They take 2 out of 3 from Arkansas. They take 2 out of 3 against a good, a solid, scrappy Tennessee club.
Very competitive Tennessee club.
And then, you know, they go to Mississippi State. Not a great Mississippi State team, but you win 2 out of 3 on the road in the SEC.
Right.
And then it's home against a very good South Carolina team and a team that, you know, can hit an awful lot, John. And,
absolutely.
And they held them to 5 runs all weekend in 3 games.
That is hard to believe they were able to do that. And that's really what Georgia had not done. You know, 2 years ago, Georgia was a College World Series team. Last year, not even in regionals. And a big difference was their team ERA went up a run last year. But this year, Joshua Fields just been automatic for the people and the closer. I think when you say automatic in Athens, you have to say automatic for the people. It's a required REM reference, yeah. Especially because REM has a new record out, so they're somewhat viable again. I saw them on Stephen Colbert the other day.
Too, from what I hear.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I hear it. But, you know, I saw them on Stephen Colbert the other night, and it just looked a little too weird for me not to jump on that REM bandwagon. But, we digress. But Josh Fields has been great, and they have experienced pitching. And, of course, Aaron, they probably have the mid-season player of the year in Gordon Beckham.
And you know, here's the other thing about Georgia, John, is early in the season when they played, I think it was Arizona, and they lost that series to it. It was a very competitive series, but I had scouts who were at that series saying, you guys don't have Georgia ranked? And even after that series, they were saying, you guys should rank Georgia. You know, they just lost their home series, but this was a good team.
Preseason, they were definitely in that 26-30 range. There were a lot of teams kind of right around there, but
yeah,
they were the first time you had your top 25. You had them at 21.
I think I did.
And
21.
We kept on talking ourselves out of Georgia because we just weren't 100% confident. Outside of Beckham, who else was going to come through for them offensively? It was like preseason on paper. It seemed like Ryan Pizell was their second best hitter.
Rich Poitras has been a key guy for them, a power bat that they really needed in the middle of that lineup. And you know, he had a great summer last year in the Coastal Plain League and kind of carried that over. I mean, that's a big-time power bat, a good approach. I mean, that's a guy that I think has been kind of the unsung hero there.
And that's the thing, is that, again, preseason, we thought they had the pitching. We weren't quite sure on the hitting. And you talked about Poitras. I mean, he's just having an outstanding year. It's a .643 slugging. I mean, in most years, Rich Poitras would come through as the guy who's kind of carrying their offense. But Gordon Beckham's numbers are just off the charts. I mean, he's not playing a Yarmouth Dennis anymore. He got 15 home runs in the SEC. It's just crazy. He leads their team in stolen bases. He's doing it all. And again, Ryan Pizell. And then a guy from my part of the country as far as draft goes, Bryce Massanari, was a big deal for them. He was a pitcher and a catcher in junior college in Nevada. And he's a big recruit. It really helps your team to be solid behind the plate. And he's been solid behind the plate. But we knew that Dodson and Morrow and Holder, these are all guys who were SEC tested last year, and we knew that was a strength of their team. It really was a matter of other people coming through offensively for them, Aaron, and it's happened for Georgia. So good on Dave Perno and his staff down there for getting Georgia to this point. But the Josh Fields experiment at the plate, not quite coming through. He does have 2 home runs, but hey, if that's what it takes to get him back, I mean, he's been automatic, again, for the people. No runs all year for Josh Fields. Best closer in the country for you?
32-6 strikeout walk ratio in 15 innings, John. That is loud.
That is loud. Is he the best closer in the country for you?
I thought he was going to be last year. I think he was
our preseason first team
All-American last year. So clearly, you know, he's had the talent, and it's just good to see him back to what we thought he was.
Absolutely. It's a Baseball America podcast. We're going to wrap up here with Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. Cal State Fullerton jumps 9 spots this weekend, Aaron. They win a series head-to-head against UC Irvine. That's pretty impressive. Ole Miss sweeps Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I think Vanderbilt and Virginia were two of our cheese ball teams this week. In terms of, I shouldn't use the word cheese ball in that response because I like cheese balls. I don't like these two teams the way Vanderbilt and Virginia are playing. Cal State Fullerton, let's talk about the positives first. Cal State Fullerton, you got to give it up to Dave Serrano. A 2-time coach of the year here, assistant coach of the year 1 year, and head coach of the year last year. But how about Fullerton to just continue to grind out series wins and to go on the road? Granted, it's a bus trip, you know, to Irvine.
I assure you, John, it was a hostile atmosphere.
Absolutely. And to go and be the top five team, certainly, Aaron, it's extremely impressive for Fullerton to go beat Irvine.
It is. And you know, we had two teams this week go on the road and win at top five teams.
That's right.
Oklahoma State going to beat Missouri as well. But
we have like a Big 12 only podcast next week. We've given the Big 12 a little short shrift in this podcast, and the Big 12 is an outstanding league.
It's a very
compelling
conference for sure. But back to Fullerton real quickly here. And I think, you know, I think it took a little bit of time for them to kind of settle into a groove with that young team that they had. And early on, they go to Stanford, they get swept. They kind of rebound after that, beating UCLA and then sweeping Southern Miss, which, of course, you know, beat Rice last weekend at Reckling Park.
Yes.
And then, you know, Fullerton back on the road, loses to Arizona. Since then, they've kind of righted the ship. They're winning midweek games against good teams like San Diego and Loyola Marymount. And then, you know, to go to UCI and win that series. I mean, this team is coming together. I think the pitching is starting to gel especially with Jeff Kaplan at the top of the rotation now, finally turning in probably his best start of the year against Scott Gorgon. I kind of like their bats, John. I think that
it's a better offensive team than they were last year. I think
they
certainly will be by the end of the year. And last year, whether it was smoke and mirrors or whatever, the name on the front of the jersey that just spooked other teams, or the guy in the dugout, George Horton. Obviously, they got to Omaha last year. I don't know if they're an Omaha team this year, but, you know, they have been for the last 5 years. This is not vintage Fullerton. This is not 03-04 Fullerton. But they could be that kind of team next year because it is a pretty young ball club.
Yeah, sure.
So we're impressed with the Titans, and they jump up. Long Beach State, 1-8 in their last 9 games, Aaron. How is that happening? I mean, seriously, how is that happening? The answer can't just be they're away from Blair Field.
I think that's a big part of it, though. I mean, this team is, you know, it's a pitching and defense, low-scoring club. You put them in an offensive park like up at Cal, and they're just not the same team. And as good as their pitching is, I mean, Andrew Liebel's continued to pitch well, you know, for the most part. He got the win on Friday night, but I don't know. I mean, Long Beach, to me, I still think is going to be there at the end of the year. I still think they'll win the conference. Although the Gauchos, UC Santa Barbara, have jumped out to a great 5-1 start in that league.
We'll probably talk about that this week. War Bob Bronsma, indeed. You have to say that because, again, that's Jim Rohn's alma mater, so that's tremendous.
Nice.
Asparagus. I'm doing a terrible Frank Caliendo impersonation of Jim Rohn, but I'm extra shot of espresso today. I'm a little bit too hopped up for today's podcast. Aaron, the other, I guess, again, we talked about the Big 12 coming in. Anything you want to say about Virginia and Vanderbilt? Virginia run out of the rankings. Last week was the most tepid number 14 ranking ever of a team moving up like they had moved up.
All those guys have done, John, is they've beaten teams at home that they should beat. They've beaten Boston College and Virginia Tech and, you know, a really weak non-conference slate. But they've
inexcusably weak non-conference schedule.
There really is.
Colleges in the state of Virginia that I understand that Virginia could has more to lose in the game by playing teams like James Madison or William & Mary or those kind of teams in weekend series. But those teams are not a threat to Virginia. They don't recruit the same caliber of player.
When you're Virginia, I don't know why you're going to be playing the Coppin States and Siennas and Lehighs.
It's inexcusable, when you have a veteran team like this, and you know that. There's no excuse for their schedule being that weak, and they're reaping what they sowed because now they're playing good teams and they can't handle it.
They can't go on the road and win. I mean, that's been their problem before.
They're like Long Beach State East because they are pitching in defense and they have a very extreme ballpark.
That's a great call. They are like Long Beach State East, except I thought Virginia had more offensive talent than Long Beach. I thought they could go to Florida State and compete. But, you know, you score 7 runs all weekend against a staff that, frankly, isn't great. But, you know, I know Florida State proved some things this weekend, but I mean, Virginia has had 3 tests this year.
And they've got a
NC State,
couple of D's and an F.
At Florida and at Duke, which, you know.
Well, I'm giving them the F at Duke because they lost a series at Duke. And Duke is improved. I will grant you that. Virginia should not lose a series at Duke. So they get a D for losing a series at NC State. You get a D for getting swept at Florida State because, hey, let's face it, not the first team that's gotten swept at Florida State. Mike Martin, dadgummit, will do that to you. But this is just a bad team right now. There's no other way to put it. This is the worst 24-9 team you're going to see this year. How can you be Virginia and have that non-conference schedule and not think it's going to come back to bite you? And the thing is, Aaron, they've got coming up, they're at Maryland, I believe it is, and they're at North Carolina later on this year. I think I'm skipping ahead. I think I got their schedule wrong, but they're not set up to get tested for a couple more weeks. Is my point, and I don't think we're going to know what kind of team Virginia has. And eventually, the whole key to this is all getting regional bids. And next Monday, Aaron, I believe, what I want to finish up with is next Monday we will have our first 64 team projected field of the year, because this is week 7 of the year. We're basically at the midway point right now. It's a 13-week regular season, but then you throw in your conference tournaments. It's a 14-week season, basically. So we're going to have next Monday our first.
We might even have it 64 team. We can discuss that, I guess. But
that's fine. But we are going to be. It's our this week. This issue of Baseball America will have our college midseason update. So a lot of that kind of stuff going on, and we'll discuss a lot of that in next week's podcast. But we'll have a projected field for you. There's a lot to talk about, and we can't fit it all into one podcast. We just go ahead and have an hour-long podcast here. But, you know, we have other things to do, so. And I don't think you had 3 shots of espresso this morning, did you?
None for me, John. So I think let's wrap it up.
That's what I'm doing. But that's your folly to not be that hyped up for college baseball. You're just high on life. It sounds like
that's it.
For Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. We'll be back with next Monday's podcast. Until then, so long, everybody. This podcast is brought to you by DeMarini. Are you ready to join the uprising? More than 150 programs around the nation have, including back-to-back Division I and II national champions, Oregon State and Tampa, and Division III national champion Keene. Log on to demarini.com/dnation and check out the Voodoo -3 to see why the SC3 alloy is the most powerful and durable performance alloy on the market. It gives you the pop you need to get along because chicks don't dig the ground ball. The Uprising, coming to a ballpark near you. Welcome.